hurt your physical body, or they know that trauma can hurt your mind and that trauma can hurt your heart. But do you realize that trauma can also hurt your soul? This course helps you deal with the soul wounds of trauma and really does help give a way that you can heal and move forward. It is offered with dinner, and it's for singles or couples. You bring your spouse if you're married and one of you has gone through trauma, so you can work through it together. And we hope you'll join us on the path.
Thank you.
So good to see you back in the house this week for just to celebrate, when, you know, and just worship our God. As you stand to your feet, we just want to, like one quick announcement. If you're a guy in the house and you don't have your name on this board over here, it needs to be on there. We want you to register. We got a couple weeks until this thing actually starts. The men's conference is in 2 weeks from this weekend. So we hope to see you there, but look to your neighbor and say, glad you came back from a great week of worship in Easter. Let's just raise the praise in this place. We're just going to invite the Holy Spirit into this place. Fill our hearts. I'm ready for a miracle. Heart's praying for a fresh encounter. Souls looking to a living God. We're ready for a real revival. Oh, Holy Spirit. We're praying for your rain to pour, an overflowing of true redemption, an overflowing of your kingdom. We're ready for a real revival. Oh, Holy Spirit, come like a flood, like a fire. Holy Spirit, fall in this place. Holy Spirit, come.
your healing. Oh, just receive it. Receive His freedom. Oh, can you feel it? Heaven is reaching. Oh, can you hear it? Our God is speaking. Oh, can you see it? He's got your healing. Oh, just receive it. Receive the freedom.
Invited Him into this place, into your heart, to just fill us with more power, Lord. More of your wisdom, oh God. We love you. We give you praise today. We want to make room for you in our lives. God, would you just take control, Father?
you to do whatever you want to.
Sing it out, church.
To do whatever you want to.
I will make
room for you.
All throughout my history, your faithfulness has walked beside me. The winter storms made way for spring, and every season from where I'm standing,
I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life.
Help me remember when I'm weak. Fear may come, but fear will leave. You lead my heart to victory. You are my strength, and you always will be.
I see the evidence of your goodness all over my life, all over my life. I see your promises in fulfillment all over my life, all over my life.
See the cross,
see the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. See the cross, the empty grave. The evidence is endless. All my sin rolled away because of you, oh Jesus. Oh, I see the evidence of your good. So why should I fear? Oh, the evidence is here. And why should I fear? Oh, the evidence is here.
Will you pray with me? Father, thank you for this day that you've given us. God, we thank you, Lord, in your word. Lord, we've heard, Lord, that you've mentioned, do not be afraid, be anxious for nothing, 365 times, Lord, once for every day of the year, Father. We know, Lord, that you want us to fear anything, but just put our faith, put our trust in you, God. And the evidence is there, Father. You've been faithful in the past, God. Help us to remember that. Lord, you will be faithful in the days ahead, God. We love you. We thank you for this day, and we give you praise. And everyone said in this place, amen. Amen. You can be seated.
Man, was Easter cool or what? It was just such an awesome, awesome, awesome experience. And then I know some of you, like, headed out of town. Some of you are still out of town. If you're watching, we're glad you're watching. Some of you had headed out of town before. But based on what I saw yesterday, everybody should be home, because there was not a single car going southbound on the interstate anywhere between here and South Carolina. Everybody was headed north. So everybody ought to be back and ought to be ready to go. And what's exciting is this is an awesome season. All right? Here's what... On Easter, on Resurrection Sunday, Jesus comes back, and then there is this great period, this season of anticipation, which is kind of where we are right now, all right? In Jesus' time, there was 50 days between the resurrection and the day of Pentecost. 50 days between the resurrection and the day of Pentecost. And so for us this year in the calendar, that makes Pentecost Sunday, May the 19th. There is so much stuff going on between now and May the 19th. And like starting this weekend, some of you ladies are going to Lexington to a women's conference with Jennifer Rothschild. If you kept saying, I need to go, and you don't have a ticket, see my wife after service today. She'll try to hook you up. Then the next weekend, 2 weekends from right now, in fact, 2 weeks from right now, it'll be over, the Uncommon Conference. Guys, men, are you signed up? If you are signed up, get your name on the board over here. If you are not signed up, what are you waiting for? Here's the deal, men, right now, get your phone out, text me. Text me, 502-321-6351. Sometimes people say, oh, you shouldn't give your number out, whatever, okay? 321-6351. Guys, if you are not signed up, text me right now. As soon as this service is over, I will send you a text with a link that you can get signed up, okay? Get it done. This is going to be an awesome thing. Daryl Land is such an awesome speaker. John Parkey's awesome speaker. It's going to be great. Then the next weekend, I mean, we're this all in this season leading up to Pentecost. The next weekend, there's a marriage conference here at the church, and it's going to be an awesome. You need to get signed up for that. Matt and Stacey Monahan are leading that. They're doing some stuff from a book they wrote. They're part of our church, and it's going to be a great thing. It's the last weekend of April. And then you get into May, and then you get Mother's Day, and then Pentecost. Pentecost. There's Pentecost Sunday. What happened on Pentecost? Well, the day of Pentecost, 50 days after Jesus was crucified, buried, rose, and 50 days later, the church is born with an explosion, with like a nuclear explosion kind of first day launch. And what's really amazing about that, and here's where I want to challenge you. You remember Peter? Remember Peter? Peter's that guy that told Jesus, I'll never deny you. I'll die with you. And Jesus said, oh yeah, you're going to deny me 3 times tonight. And 50 days from the time of that denial and Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection, 50 days later, that same guy is used to preach the first evangelistic gospel message on the day of Pentecost. And at least 3,000, that's probably only the men. You start adding in women and kids. There's thousands upon thousands of people that made decisions to accept Jesus Christ and were baptized. There's thousands others that said, we're going to get serious about this. And there was this explosion. Peter denies Christ, and 50 days later, 7 weeks later, God used him in an incredible way. What could God do in your life in the next 6 weeks? Because we got 6 weeks left, all right? Because we've already done the first week of the seven. We've got 6 weeks left. What could God do in your life between now and Pentecost? Now, I get it. You're probably not going to have the opportunity Peter had to be in a town full of people that are going to hear you preach. But what if all of us think this through? Think this through. What if every person in this room made it a point that I'm going to get serious about this, and you made yourself vulnerable in the next 6 weeks, vulnerable enough to share your faith with someone who doesn't know Jesus? And if you're saying, I don't know any of those people, come find me. I got some. All right. I'll hook you up. All right. But what would happen if not, I'm not talking about 3,000, but what would happen? We had almost 2,200 people here last weekend. What if all those people actually came back this weekend? But what if all those people came back and brought somebody and they accepted Jesus? You know, the scene I would love to have. I was with somebody this week talking about how bare a baptistry is. And it's really cool. We can get a lot of people in. I would love to have the day when we have that. And like two or three hot tubs just all across the front. And we're just baptizing people as quick as they can come. All right? That's what Pentecost was all about. That's the kind of stuff that happened on Pentecost. And so we're going to focus a lot. Here's what's going to happen between now and Pentecost. We're going to be talking about our core values. I'm going to jump into that in just a minute. And on Pentecost Sunday, I'm going to talk about the core value of sharing. But we've still got One Pathways that's coming up, not this Tuesday, but next Tuesday. Some people will make decisions there to make this their church home. Some people make decisions to accept Jesus Christ. We don't want to say we're not doing it. I hope we do baptisms every Sunday between now and Pentecost, every weekend. But then on Pentecost Sunday, what if we just had like, I don't know, 50, 60, 100 baptisms that day? If you've been thinking about it and you've been sitting there every week white knuckling, know you need to do something, you need a target date. I'm giving you a target date right now. It's May 19th. It's May 19th. If you're not used to thinking in terms of Pentecost, think week after Mother's Day. You're on. All right? All right? So here, we want to start talking about Denzel Washington. I did say the name and everybody in the room knows. Okay, Denzel Washington. Now, here's what's different. When I say Denzel Washington, probably everybody in the room knew who I was talking about, but everybody in the room had a different picture based on your favorite Denzel movie, all right? You had a different picture of who he was, but everybody knows who Denzel Washington is. He's an iconic actor, but he's a great human being because he's lived from the very early days of his life based on some core values of doing the right thing and making right. And he's made some great, great, great movies. Even the ones that are a little bit kind of on the R level, They kind of open up the shade to some real stuff that's going on in our world, some real stuff that needs to be fixed. But Denzel Washington, one thing I like about Denzel Washington is Denzel Washington went through a season. Early in his success, he went through a season where his success kind of got control of him, and he battled substance abuse addiction, and he figured it out. He figured out, I don't need to live this way. And he did what he needed to do to get over that. And since 1991, Denzel has lived a completely sober life because he had some core values, some things deep inside of him. I don't know what his core values are, but it's very obvious. And he talks about living with purpose. And that's what core values are. Core values are the things that give us the ability to live with a purpose. In fact, by definition, core values are the fundamental beliefs and principles that guide your life and help you make choices. Things that are deeply ingrained and reflect your identity and culture and your long-term vision, why you do what you do. Not just what you do, but why you do what you do. You know, the Bible tells us, whatever you do, whether in word or deed, do it all for the glory of the Lord. Why do you do what you do? We believe that there are some core values as a Christ follower and as members of our church that are defined by those banners. Some of you have been coming in here for years, and some of you knew exactly why those are there and what they represent. But some of you have walked in week after week after week and seen those banners, and okay, they're cool. That's all right. Those are good church words, and the colors are all right. But those are our core values. That's why they're there, because we believe with all of our heart that's how we ought to live our life. Scripture tells us and gives us a view of what it looks like to live a standard established in core values. In the book of Joshua, the Old Testament, Joshua 24. This is after Moses has led the people out of bondage in Israel. They've gotten right to the edge of going into the promised land. They didn't get to go because they were afraid, so they had to wander a little bit. Moses dies. Joshua becomes leader. Now they're getting ready to walk into the promised land. Finally, Joshua, they're in the promised land. Joshua now died, or is ready to die. And as he's getting ready to die, as he's making his last stand, so to speak, here's what Joshua says. If you refuse to serve the Lord, Then choose today who you're going to serve. Make up your mind. Just make up your mind. Would you prefer the gods of your ancestors serve beyond the Euphrates back in bondage? Or will it be the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live, who you're wandering around? But as for me and my house, my family, we're going to serve the Lord. Core values. What's at the core of who you are and what you do? Fast forward. Fast forward from Joshua and this challenge to us in the Old Testament. Fast forward to the New Testament, to the Gospel of Luke, to Jesus' life story as told by Luke. In chapter 9, in verse 23, Jesus is talking to the crowd, and he says this. Check this out. He's kind of motivating the crowd, all right? All right, here's the deal. You want to follow me? Cool, that's great. If any of you wants to be my follower, you must give up your own way, take up your cross daily, and follow me. Deny yourself, carry a cross, follow me. All of a sudden, it's like, I don't know. I don't know that I want to sign on for that. That seems a little rough on the edges. Seems a little rough in spots there. But that's what Jesus said it looked like, that if we're going to follow him, we need to be serious about following him. So we play these commands out, and we realize that it's up to us, as Joshua said, to choose how we're going to live. Now, that's really a beautiful thing. It's what we refer to in the biblical world. It's what we refer to as free will. The ability we have to choose this day who you're going to serve. To know that nobody's making us, nobody's forcing us, that every human that has ever been born has the same ability to choose who they're going to serve. It's not forced upon you. You choose. You choose who you're going to serve. Free will is a great thing. It's a great thing, but it's not always easy. It's not, because we've got to deal with the consequences of those choices. For years, we've identified these five core values. These five core values: to worship, to study, to serve, to give, and to share. And over the next couple months, we're really going to dig into those. But we have also identified another core value. We didn't create it. We're not even really adding it to list. There was an assumption that it was already there. But a few months ago, it became important to me. And I asked Dennis, I said, hey, can we get another banner somehow, or a group of banners? And so Dennis created the pray banners. Now, when the lights are down, you got to look, but you can see. Above every one of our original five identified core values, I thought it was appropriate that we put the word pray up there so that we know that every one of those other things is covered in prayer. In fact, at the top of everything we do is covered in prayer. It's illustrated in these new banners. So what does the New Testament say about how often we should pray? Well, of course, the New Testament obviously says, you know, everybody should join hands and pray before dinner. That's biblical, right? Or like when you go to bed at night, that until you're 12, you need to get down on the side of the bed and kneel and pray before you go to sleep at night. That's biblical, right? No, it's not biblical. It's not non-biblical. You know what's biblical? Pray all the time. That's what's biblical. That's what's biblical. Look at the book of James. This is written by Jesus' half-brother James. In chapter 5, he says, check out what he says. Are any of you suffering hardships? You should pray. Are any of you happy? You should sing praises. That's a prayer. Are any of you sick? You should call the elders of the church to come and pray over you, anointing you with oil in the name of the Lord. Such a prayer offered in faith will heal the sick, and the Lord will make you well. If you've committed any sins, you will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. Because the earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and produces wonderful results. Great power. You know where we are with prayer in most of our world today? Prayer for a lot of people, even people who are Christians, it's like they own a power tool. They're just choosing not to plug it in or put the battery on. You ever tried to saw with a power saw that has no power? I mean, that, you talk about, that'll wear you out. All right. In fact, check this out. Trying to saw or cut something with a power saw that is not either on a battery or plugged into the power source is actually, it's much harder to cut with that saw than it is a good old fashioned saw, because it takes so much more energy to maneuver it, and it's not as effective. How many people today do you know that are sawing with power saws in their prayer life? They're wondering why it's not getting any easier. They haven't plugged into the power. They haven't plugged into the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit in their life to make a difference. Going through a hard time? Guess what? Pray. You're sick? Somebody you know is sick? Guess what? Pray. You're sinning? You're really struggling? You've got that demon you just can't quit doing? Pray. You need power? You need results in your life? Pray. Are you getting the idea of this? That everything we do, it's not just a mealtime side of the bedtime, it's an all the time. Pray. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, 17, the Apostle Paul summarizes it completely. Pray without ceasing. Pray without ceasing. Don't stop praying. Is that even possible? Is that concept even possible? In fact, how can we do anything without ceasing? Now, I go ebb and flow, but I really, really, really try. I really try to exercise at least 20 minutes a day, 5 to 7 days a week. I don't always make it, but it's such an anal thing to me. I've got a box on my to-do list every week for every day for exercise, trying to make sure that I do something for at least 20 minutes a day, because I, you know, just getting a heart pump on, and that's hard to do. I have surely failed at dieting without ceasing. I have been a miserable failure at that. The only thing most of us actually do without ceasing is breathe. That's it. We breathe. Now, when we breathe, what happens? As long as we're breathing, it forces our heart to pump and other things work. But we just breathe. And when we stop or when we cease breathing, that's not a good thing, is it? When we cease praying, it's not a good thing either. Can prayer become such an integral part of our life that we literally pray like we breathe without ceasing? And if we prayed like we breathe, how would that affect our everyday life? Here's some things I think that would do for us. First of all, prayer gives us energy. Prayer gives us energy. Okay, I started to say we'd do a contest, but it might take too long, okay? But just in your mind, how long can you hold your breath? How long can you hold your breath? There's probably somebody in here that can go 3 or 4 minutes. And while that's really not that long, if I said, okay, so-and-so can hold their breath for 4 minutes, so we're all going to do that together. Go. We'd have people falling over in the seats, over in the floor. Like, it's not possible. Do you know, I looked this up because I just wanted to be sure. I thought I was right at this. Permanent brain damage begins after only 4 minutes without oxygen. I know some people that must have been holding their breath a real long time. Most of them are in D.C. But anyway, and here's what's even worse. Here's what's even worse. Death. Death can easily occur as soon as 4 to 6 minutes after that breathing gets hard. Death. What happens when someone can't get enough air? Have you ever been in that situation where you just, like, for whatever reason, you couldn't get your breath? You got choked on something, you swallowed something, somehow something got over your face. I remember I was lifeguarding one summer when I was in high school, and I thought it was going to be really cool, and I dove in. I was a lifeguard, I should know. I dove in the pool off the lifeguard stand with a beach towel wrapped around my neck. I thought that was going to be the coolest thing in the world until I hit the water and the towel came in front of me. And you're in there and you're struggling to get the towel off so that you can breathe. If you go through something like that that's silly or something much worse and you can't breathe, it's terrifying. You know it's terrifying. And so Jesus taught us this. Jesus taught us in Luke chapter 18 that we should always pray and not grow faint. When you think about prayer and breathing, it makes that verse come to life a little bit more. Because if not breathing causes us to faint, Jesus connected it to praying. You should always pray and not grow faint. It will slow you down. It will not allow you to function as a human. Notice Jesus didn't say. Notice what he didn't say. I think sometimes the most important things in Scripture are what Jesus didn't say. Jesus didn't say you ought to often pray. Jesus said always. Not occasionally, not often, but always. And then in Philippians chapter 4, the Apostle Paul took it to this extent. Look what the Apostle Paul says. Don't worry about anything. Check, got that, no problem, right? Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all that he has done. When's the last time you said thanks? When's the last time you said thanks? Then you will experience God's peace and will exceed, which exceeds anything we can understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Wow. You ever find yourself worrying about things? I know, I must be the only one. Nothing saps your energy like worry, and prayer is the solution. When you catch your mind wandering off into worry, what if you turned your worries into prayer? What if we made kind of a pact that we were going to try this week, and that we were going to say, okay, here's going to be the deal. As soon as I feel myself starting to worry about anything this week, I'm going to start praying about everything. Instead of worrying about all this stuff, I'm going to pray about it. And that's going to be my trigger. You know, psychology tells us to watch and figure out what our triggers are. Okay, what if worry is your trigger, that is a positive trigger that causes you to start praying? To start praying and trusting God. Trusting that God has everything. Learn how to pray about everything. It's important enough. If it's important enough to worry, it should be important enough to pray about it. There's a Christian named Edwin Keith that said this about prayer. He said, prayer is exhaling the spirit of man and inhaling the spirit of God. I kind of like that. That's my stuff. This is God's stuff. My stuff, God's stuff. And what if we learn to live that way? In prayer, we inhale spiritual energy and we exhale the things that need to be cleaned out of our life. So prayer gives us energy. The other thing prayer does is cleanse us out. That's the follow-up of that breathing exercise. Prayer cleanses us out. You ever been out in a crowd? I wrote my notes out eating because it happened just this week. But have you ever been out somewhere in a crowd and you hear the people right next to you, sitting in the booth behind you, talking about stuff? And they're talking about it, and it's the kind of stuff that really shouldn't even be talked about, but definitely not out loud, like the whisper. But they're talking about it loud enough that you feel like you're in the conversation. I mean, like, you're like, no, I can't unhear that. You know, quit that. And then there's that part of you that after a while you feel like turning around and going, hey, I can hear you. I can hear you. I wonder if that's how God feels about us sometimes. I wonder if sometimes what's going through our minds and coming out our mouth, and obviously he does hear, but I wonder if there's times that he feels like just open up the heavens and speaking to us and saying, hey, you know I can hear you. You know I can hear you. And I wonder how that would change the way we think and the way we talk and the way we act. When we turn our minds toward God, the natural result will be a cleansing out of our thoughts, just like when we inhale oxygen and exhale carbon dioxide. Do you have a pattern of sin? That got real personal, didn't it? Is there something that's still in your life that's a pattern of sin that you need to clean out, that you need to get rid of? I want you to give this a try. I want you to give this a try. Instead of just revving up your own willpower one more time, because we know that never actually really works. What if instead you focused your attention on the presence of God in your life? The fact is, the more we pray, the less we sin. In fact, without identifying exactly what it is, because that's probably something that's just between you and God, what if you did this? I have on my phone, and I wouldn't care if you saw it because it doesn't say what it is, but I have on my calendar on my phone, just like it'll say day whatever, day whatever. One of the things that I'm working on today is day 103, all right? And I see that every day pop up on my calendar, and it's a reminder. And I know what that thing is, and God knows what that thing is. You don't need to know what that thing is, okay? But it's something that's just my reminder to, instead of letting it get control, to allow God to have. What if you worked on that? What if you focus your attention on the presence of God in your life? The New Testament's full of verses that encourage us to pray without ceasing. This one in Ephesians 6:18, pray in the Spirit at all times, on every occasion, stay alert. Be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. And did you catch that? Not just for you, but for everyone. Make it a matter of prayer, because that prayer gives us energy, it cleanses us out, and it gives us an abundant life. I don't know about you, but I find myself just existing a lot, when I know that I should be really living. And I'm really getting kind of sick and tired of just existing. Jesus said, I came that you might have life. The best life. Life more abundantly. Because there's a thief that comes to steal, kill, and destroy your life. But I came not only to give you life, but abundant life. Then later in John 15, Jesus said to his disciples, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you will ask for whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. And by this, my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciples. The qualifier is there, that you bear much fruit, that you share the gospel, that you make other disciples. You will be my disciples if you bear fruit, if you bear, make other disciples. In fact, the implication for Jesus is there is you're not really following him until you're making other disciples, till you're reproducing. And if you think that through, what was the very first command God gave Adam and Eve after things messed up? What was the very first command he gave Noah after they got off the ark? Go be fruitful and multiply. Grow this thing. And now Jesus is saying, you want to be my disciple? Then make more disciples. Tell them about me. Tell them about how it changed you. What did Jesus mean when he said abide? He meant pray without ceasing. He meant constantly live in his presence. I want to invite you to take what may be a new step in your prayer life. I want you to think your thoughts to God. That makes prayer without ceasing doable, because you can be driving down the road, and if you want to speak audibly, you can, or you could just be thinking with God about whatever it is in your life. That makes praying when you're in staff meeting doable. That makes praying when you're sitting at the dinner table doable. That makes praying when you're at a basketball game or a softball game or watching your kids. That makes it doable, because you're just giving your thoughts to God. To pray without ceasing simply means you live each day in his presence. And when we do that, it'll change how you worship, how you study, how you give, how you share, how you serve. I want to invite you this morning. In fact, through this whole series, we're going to have three action steps every time. Here's the action steps for prayer that I want you to really think about, write down, take a picture of. First action step is this: practice the presence of God. Do everything you can this week. Or forget this week. What about today? Do everything you can today to practice the presence of God. Make prayer like breathing. The second thing I want to encourage you to do is figure out a way to journal. figure out a way to journal and write down your prayers. And you could do that in many different ways. It's powerful. I was teaching a couple weeks ago at Community Recovery and was talking about this. And some of you know, Kim like writes like crazy, prays like crazy. And she's got like volumes. You know, it would be an awesome, awesome, awesome book to write. We've been married 37 years. She's got journals. And she can go back and look in 2001 and see what she was praying about. And some of it's highlighted in a way that she can tell what was answered and the way it was answered. And she can go back and be reminded of his goodness, the evidence of his mercy all over her life. I'm not that guy. I've got a whole shelf full of journals with two or three pages written on. Because I start, this is not me, I just started doing it on my phone. I do everything on my phone. And I just make little notes. And when I see God answer them, I figured out how to go on my phone, on my notes, and I can go back in and I can change the color of the font. I can make it green. No, yay, God. Make it red. Uh-oh, we guys still keep praying. All right? So figure out your way to journal so you can see God work. And then the last thing, the last action step I want to give you is this. Either start or join a prayer team. We have this unceasing prayer team that we do with the community. You could see me and you could get on that. You could start your own group. Like Moms in Touch was a thing that we did for years and it still goes on. We're just groups of moms who had kids at the same school, got together and figured out like at 8:30 after the kids dropped off, met at McDonald's and prayed for the kids at that school. Whatever, figure it out. We, you know, guys, bunch of men, just figure out like, okay, we're gonna meet at Cracker Barrel on Wednesday morning at 6, and it's not gonna be a big long Bible study. We're just gonna pray for the day. Whatever. So just get involved on a prayer team and join with others in that. We're gonna finish the service a little bit different today. We're gonna worship, and then we're gonna do something, then we're gonna get communion. So I'm going to ask you right now, in just a minute, when they start singing, I'm going to ask everyone, don't leave, please don't leave. I'm going to ask everyone to stand, but don't move. All right, I'll tell you when it's time to move. Right now, we're just going to stand and worship. And then I'll tell you when it's time to move for communion and offering and all of that. So let's worship. Let's worship right now, okay?
Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time. Born of his spirit and washed in his blood. And what he did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, one who will never fail. He will never fail. I trust in God, my Savior. Has ordered my steps. So this is my story, and this is my song, praising my risen King and Savior all the day long. I trust in God, my Savior.
looked at what the Bible says about prayer. And I've given you some action steps that you can take home with you today to work on prayer. But as I drove home yesterday in the truck alone, I kept hearing God. And He kept saying, why don't you quit talking about prayer and pray? And why don't you do that tomorrow morning? I just felt God speaking in my spirit, saying, there's going to be people coming to your house of worship tomorrow where you guys worship me that need prayer. And we need to focus on that more. So here's what I want to ask you to do right now. And I know it's like awkward, uncomfortable to some, but I want it to be a time of encouragement. If you came here this morning and you need a physical healing, there's a disease that's running through your body, there's a physical injury, there's something that just won't heal. If you need God to step in, because the Bible says if any of you are sick or hurt, ask the elders. And so we got elders in this room, and we can all as a group right now, we can pray. If you are sick right now and just want God to help heal you, would you have the courage to stand up wherever you're at right now? You're not really sure how you're going to pay the next bill. It's upside down and you don't see an answer. And you need God to help provide a way. If that's what you need help with this morning in prayer, would you stand up? Would you just stand up right now, and we'll be glad to pray for you. Maybe part of that is, what about this? Because sometimes, far too often, when we talk about illnesses and things that we need healing, we leave out the mental side of things. Maybe your battle right now is not a broken bone, it's not an internal disease. Maybe it's depression or something that's going on that Satan is using something in your thought process and in your mind, and the depression, the grief, the whatever is just, it's consuming you and you just want it to go away. If you need prayer for that, would you stand up? And I know this is true. Some of you've got people that are part of your family that if this whole thing comes to an end today, you're not sure that you're going to get to spend eternity with them. And you want them to come to Jesus so bad. Or maybe you want them to come back to Jesus so bad. And it's just killing you inside. Or maybe you're that person. So if you're that person, or you've got somebody in your life that you really want to come to Jesus, and you want to pray about it, would you stand up right now? Your hand on somebody, especially somebody that's standing around you that has acknowledged that they need prayer. Would you put your hand on them? Father God, what to say. So help our eyes to be on you. God, for those that need a physical healing in their life, there's not a one of us in this room that can do that for them. But you can. Would you heal them? If their healing needs to be from grief or depression or something, schizophrenia, whatever that might be messing with their mind that came straight from the pits of hell, we can't make it go away, but you can. Would you take it, Father? When we make bad choices because of that free will thing, sometimes we end up upside down financially. And so, God, for those that may be in that place today, would you help them? Would you help them in a way, God, that only you can do, that we can't do? And God, there were so many people that stood up and said they're praying for somebody they love to come to know Jesus. Would you step in? Would you step in? Would you crack a heart? Would you crack a heart so the Holy Spirit can make a difference? And God, would you please forgive us when we don't pray enough? When we try to do all these things on our own, we try to fix all these things on our own instead of coming to the one who can make the difference. Because you tell us that when we seek you, you hear our prayers and you answer them. And we need to do that today. Help us to do that as we worship today in the powerful name of Jesus. Come and hear our prayers and heal our land.
I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered. That's why I trust him. That's why I trust him. I sought the Lord and he heard and he answered.
I think we're ready to move. I pray that the Lord's Supper means more today maybe than it's ever meant to you in your life. As we sing through that one more time, that chorus one more time. So sing that one more time. If you haven't already gotten your elements, come and to the communion stations and get your elements. Give your tithes. But here's the deal. If you are that person that you know God is saying today is the day. Don't leave here today without making Jesus Christ Lord of your life. While we're coming to get that, my wife Kim's going to be right over here. Ladies, if you need something, come running to her. Dennis Dove's going to come up here and he's going to be up here by the baptistry. Dennis will be right here. If we got any elders in the room that don't mind coming down front, I know we got a couple of them on stage. We want to pray for you, but we want to lead you to Christ. So come get your communion. If you're ready to receive him and be baptized, come on, we can take care of that. You won't be the only one. You won't be the only one, because my boy Josh has got another one today, and he's agreed to be the baptizer. So if you're going to come on, we'll get you baptized today. Let's go. Let's seek the Lord and see what he does today.
I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will I sought the Lord and he heard.
Today, as we hold these elements today, let's take them together. Father, we thank you for this cup of bread, Lord, what it means, Lord, that your body was broken. God, we thank you, Lord, that we take on your body, Lord, we take on your mind today, God, through this new covenant, Lord. We are renewed daily. So, Father, as we take this bread, Lord, we remember what you did for us. Oh, we should sing the song, "The blood will never lose its power, for it reaches to the highest mountain and it flows to the lowest valley. It will never lose its strength." So God, Lord, as we hold this cup, Lord, that represents, Lord, your blood, that precious, wonderful, working power of the blood today, Lord. Lord, may it refresh us, God. May it renew us, God. And we thank you, Lord, as we remember that today, Lord. We give you praise. So we have some baptisms this morning. Can we get some praise in this place? I think we're ready for one.
Church. I have Holly here. Holly is my mother-in-law. So Holly came to me and her daughter Alicia last week, I guess, and was wanting to know if we could help her with the baptism. To be honest with you, when I had an opportunity to dunk my mother-in-law, I said, I can't pass that up. No, but all seriously, she's been coming to church faithfully with us since last June. And she's went through a lot in the last few years. And I've seen her and her relationship with her daughter and family really grow. And it's been awesome. And she's ready to make the Lord her Savior. Is she ready?
Ready.
I accept. Jesus is the Christ.
Jesus is the Christ.
Son of the living God. And I accept him. To be my personal Lord and Savior. Because of your confession, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit for the forgiveness of your sins and gift of eternal life. You ready?
There is something powerful that happens when a grown man says, I got to do this. Amen. I got to do this. We celebrate all you ladies, but there's the world we live in is telling Delbert, don't do this. don't do this. You can't be a real man if you do this. And so there's something powerful about that. And so when my brother came and said, I want to get baptized, I want you to do it, I was like, okay, let's go. Let's go. And we're scrambling back there as quick as we can to get ready. But this is what it's all about. Devil, do you believe that Jesus is Christ, the Son of the God? You ready to accept him as your personal Lord and Savior? All right, because of that belief, because of that confession of who he is, I'm going to baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, for the forgiveness of all your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit in your life. Listen to your prayer, Lord. Listen to your prayer. I'm already wet, I'm just saying.
Hey man, what a great day that was. Oh, what some great things that we got to see today. But as you get out of here, don't forget, if you're new today, we got an I'm New wall back there. You can't miss it. Somebody that's been here forever, you point the way. It's a big orange wall. Come back there. We would love to connect with you if you're new here. Don't forget the men's conference that we have. Find somebody that you know that needs to be there and ask them, hey, have you signed up yet? You need to be there. It's life-changing. So as you're getting out of here, let's continue to love God, love people, watch him change the world. Amen.